Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. He's good on barbecue. He's good on basketball. He's good on football. He's a family guy. I don't know what his 40 time would be. I got him down at about a 5.5 40. Am I about right, Matt? 5.5?
Today, yeah, probably what it would be. Very proud of that.
What was the fastest 40 you would ever run? What age were you, and how fast would that be?
Junior year, we were doing some 40 testing for high school football. You know, it was like the spring, so getting ready for my senior year, I ran a 4.79.
I'm gonna need a eyewitness.
it's a long time ago.
No,
a long time ago.
I'm going to let you have it because who am I to say that you didn't run it? And I don't want to be that guy. So I'm going to let you have it. Hey, first of all, before we talk football or anything else, how about this softball team at Oregon? They're winning.
Yeah, they're winning games. They won earlier today. They're 3-1 against New Mexico State. I think they're down a couple of runs against Bethune-Cookman in the second game of today's doubleheader. But yeah, they're winning games, and they look like they've got some hitting. They've got at least one solid pitcher, and you know, we'll see how it goes when they get into conference play. I think the one thing you can look at is they don't have a lot of depth at pitcher, and so when they have doubleheaders like today, and they can't rule out Dale for two straight games, you know, that's where they have these rough games, and that's happened today against Bethune-Cookman, down 5-3. McGrandle came in and just doesn't have the same stuff that Dale does.
When you have one pitcher that you can trust and you get into conference play, we all know in baseball you need two or three starters to really win in this conference. But in softball, can you get away with having just one pitcher in conference play?
I mean, Oregon did it under Mike White for a couple of seasons. But you know, once they got to the postseason play and they needed – you know, to win two games in one day, or, you know, you play elite competition three straight days, that's when you kind of need to have that second arm to just give your ace a little bit of a rest. You know, it helps that in conference play, unless rain delays play a factor, they don't play doubleheaders. And so you're not going to have, you're not going to have a day where, they're going to have to throw Dale out and two games in one day. And so I think, yeah, it helps. And it also helps if you go 2 out of 3 in every series, you're probably going to be in the hunt.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, a lot of us, me included, expected that this was going to be a really rough season. Do they seem surprised by this?
Lombardi said she wants her players to expect to win. And so that when they beat LSU last week down in Clearwater, Florida, and the team wasn't, jumping like they just won the conference championship, she was happy about that. And she was pleased that the team has this expectation that even though people don't expect us to do well, or we believe in ourselves that they can do well. So that was kind of her message yesterday or 2 days ago before they went down to California.
We're talking to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. We had Kelly Graves on the show earlier, the Ducks women's basketball coach. We had Scott Ruick, the Oregon State coach, on earlier. I know you were there. You watched these two games. I want a rubber match. They split them 1-1. I kind of feel like Oregon, and Kelly Graves said it. He said that his team would not like playing them again. And what he meant is they would show up angry because they feel like they should have won the Monday night game.
Right.
What's your takeaway of that series?
The biggest takeaway from that series is 10 years ago, I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
And I'm all in on women's basketball. I'm watching other games in the conference to see how it plays out and how it impacts Oregon and Oregon State. I'm watching national games to see how it impacts the conference. And, you know, I'm invested in it. I'm taking my kids because I don't cover the I cover the men and football so religiously that I don't have an opportunity to take my boys to those games. And for women, I do. I've gone to multiple games just as a fan, just because they're fun to watch. And so I think I'm fully in on women's basketball. And I think the state is. And you're right that game needs to be played because we're going to see, we heard that Ruthie Hebert's not out now for, no structural issue with her knee. And so you hope that, she can be back in a couple weeks. And if I'm Kelly Graves, I don't play her this week. I don't play her next week. Maybe play her in the Pac-12 tournament. But even without her, those are two of the best teams in the country. And I want to see them play again because they're head and shoulders above, I think, everybody else in the conference.
Who wins that rubber match on a neutral floor? Because people are all over
the
place.
It should be Oregon. It should be Oregon. But I will say this. Oregon State, they have done an amazing job in the two games that they've played them of forcing Oregon to play at their pace, to play at their tempo, to play that defensive grind-out style of game. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit. Oregon has the better players. It wouldn't surprise me one bit, though, that Oregon State wins. I've gone through that as a fan, as a Suns fan, too many times of them pairing up against the Spurs. And you look at them, the Suns are so athletic and so fun and so awesome, but they play a defensive powerhouse team and, things drag out and slow down and you miss shots, which has happened in both games and even more so at Oregon State. And, the better defensive team wins. I mean, every coach talks about it. Every player talks about it in basketball. Defense travels no matter where you go.
The Oregon State fans and Oregon fans were, I guess fans do this, but they were bickering and arguing over which team had the better sellout. And I was like, hey, that's 20,000 fans that went to see women's college basketball. It's amazing.
Yeah. I want them in Portland together. That's what I want. I don't want them in the Final Four. I want them both playing in Portland. I want the Rose Garden or the Moda Center, whatever it's called now, to be split. One side orange, one side green, and they meet in the Elite Eight on a Saturday night, and the winner gets to go to Tampa. I mean, that's badass. That sounds awesome. I sign me up for that. I'll pay $100. I'll pay $150 to go watch that play out.
Talking to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. Let's turn to football. Mario Cristobal, very intense, excited about his signing days. Excited about this fourth quarter program he's running. I'm not even quite sure what it is, but he's all over social media with it. Oregon State's been very quiet. If you're a Beavers fan, are you worried right now, or is this just going to be what Jonathan Smith is like as a coach?
I think this is kind of what Jonathan Smith is like as a coach, and I think this is kind of what Oregon is like as a program. Oregon is the king of marketing, and they can turn a video on social media of guys, working out and doing conditioning drills and getting 25,000 views. I mean, they can make that cool. To me, I don't see the entertainment in that, but it's out there and there's people that eat it up and Oregon State, they're just doing what they need to do. Just work in the off season, develop your talent, develop your skills, build some depth and go from there. And you know what? I would kind of like it if no one was really paying attention to us anyways, because if you're Jonathan Smith, you can hammer that home. Look, no one cares about you. No one believes in you except for the people inside this room. And that, that can fuel a lot of athletes.
I like that. And it kind of fits the brand at Oregon State that, you're if you're going to Oregon State right now under Jonathan Smith, you got to come in there with a chip on your shoulder.
Yep, exactly. That's the exact culture that they have to have. And it's the exact culture that they had when they were really good, that, we believed in you and no one else did. Let's just band together and win this thing or win some games. And that's what they did when they were at their best. It was us, kind of an us against the world mentality.
You afraid to wear Nike shoes after Zion Williamson?
No, that was the dumbest thing in the world. He shouldn't have been wearing the Paul George 2.5s anyways, because those are shoes designed for a wing guard, a guy that's going to play on the wing. That's not 285 pounds. And Zion's, it's very, very unique player because he's a power forward from a physical standpoint, but athletically, the way he moves, he's more like a small forward or a shooting guard. And, you know, it's like putting an offensive lineman in receiver's cleats and then saying, well, yeah, his shoes broke. Like, well, yeah, what do you expect? He's not wearing the right shoes. You know, he shouldn't have been wearing the Paul Georges, in my opinion. And, you know, and it's not his mistake. And it's probably not Duke's mistake either, because Duke probably had a whole bunch of high tops and whatnot to give him. And he probably just chose the Paul Georges because he thought they looked cool. But, you know, in reality, he shouldn't have been wearing those shoes. I mean, LeBron James doesn't wear low ankle shoes when he plays basketball, and Zion's the closest thing to LeBron.
I like that. I think that's a strong take. Give me your winner of the men's Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. There's ball left to play, but give me a couple teams that you think could win the thing.
First, it's going to be Washington, just because they're in the lead right now. They've lost once. They've got the veteran leadership. I think Oregon State's probably my number two, along with Arizona State. Those two teams wouldn't surprise me as well. I would probably say it's Oregon. I would probably say it's Washington, then Oregon State and ASU tied for that second or third. And then if you wanted to pick a wild card, I'd say pick UCLA or pick Oregon, because from a pure talent standpoint, those teams have the talent, but they just, you know, they haven't shown it that they can win three straight games in a row. But if they ever got hot and they ever had things click, it wouldn't surprise me if those two teams got to the championship game as well. But I would probably say the first three, Washington, Oregon State, or Arizona State.
Yeah, and I keep looking at Oregon, and I look at Oregon, and I watch them play, and for like 8 or 10 minutes, I go, that team could win the tournament. And then I spend 8 or 10 or 12 minutes going, nope, no shot.
Yeah.
What am I watching?
Elijah Brown had a really good tweet, I want to say just 2 hours ago. He played at Oregon last year as a senior graduate transfer, and I'm paraphrasing, but his basic message was that Duck fans don't understand the impact of having experience on a team and how that helps. And he hammered home that the Final Four team had experience of a bunch of guys playing together for 2 or more years and the talent, and that's why they got to the Final Four. That's just what we're dealing with right now, of a team that literally there's one guy on this team that's been at Oregon for more than two seasons. There's a second guy in Paul White. That first guy is Peyton Pritchard. The second guy is Paul White, who's been on the team for now 2 years, and everybody else is either they're starting their second year or wrapping up their second year, or they're, you know, still in their freshman season. And so, you know, college basketball is a game that's still played by veterans. I mean, North Carolina started three seniors, I think a junior and a freshman, and they dominated Duke last night. And yeah, you can say Zion got hurt, but they still have RJ Barrett, who's the number two pick in the draft. They still have Nasir Little, who he plays for North Carolina. But they have another guy that's a top 10 pick, and then Trayshawn Jones is a future lottery pick as well. And, you know, they've got all these freshmen, and it was the veterans that an injury happened. And, hey, we know what to do. We're okay. We're in a tough environment, but we can handle this. And the veterans won. And, you know, Tennessee, they're a team that's loaded with vets. And so you just got to find a way for Oregon to, you know, accumulate some vets. And that's why I think in the Pac-12 we're going to see teams that have veterans win the tournament. Washington has them. Oregon State has them. And Arizona State's got a good amount, too. They've got a good mix of vets and youth.
Before I cut you loose, you've got Oregon at USC tonight in men's basketball, Oregon State at UCLA. Both are 3-point underdogs. If we're betting one of those underdogs, who are we picking?
I'm parlaying both.
You like both the dogs?
I like both the dogs. I think Oregon State and I think Oregon both win tonight. And
they're getting 3 points each. You heard it from Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. It's a 5-star pick. And he once ran a 4.7940. Okay?
Long time ago. That was a long time ago. I'll be happy if I run a 5.5, and that sounds terrible.
A 5.5 is still a respectable time for the guy in the press box.
Yeah.
I think if you get under six, you can hold your head high.
Yes.
You don't want a six.
I'll take that.
Six is bad. No.
You don't want rounded, crooked numbers.
And you know, there are some sixes in that press box. Let's talk about those people on air.
Oh, yeah. You leave that charge, John. I'm not going down that path.
All right, Matt, you take care. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot.
He's always so good. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. All right. Do I have one more four-pack to give away? I do. Alabama Adriana says, I've got a four-pack of tickets to the Portland Golf Show. It's happening tomorrow, February 22nd through the 24th, Oregon Convention Center. I'll be broadcasting live tomorrow, noon to 3 p.m. I want to see you there. Four-pack of tickets to caller number four at 503-417-7575. So we've had a great radio show. Kelly Graves, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach, came on the program early. If you missed that, you can grab a podcast of that interview on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast or iTunes. If you have an iPhone, it's very easy to get. But basically, Graves weighed in on a lot of things, including the potential for Oregon to play Oregon State a third time this season in Las Vegas. At the Pac-12 Women's Basketball Tournament, that would be March 10th, would be the championship game. It's a Sunday, nationally televised game on ESPN. Graves said, quote, I don't think our team will be happy if we play them again this season. What he meant is they left Monday night's game feeling like they should have won it. They lost that game. They feel like they should have won it. They're mad. So keep an eye on this rivalry. And I don't mind fanning the flames on it a little bit because I think it's fun. But grab that podcast if you wish. I know Scott Ruick and the Beavers will. Mike Leach, the Washington State coach, joined us for a wide-ranging interview. The headline on that's going to go something like this. Mike Leach talking flip-flops, seven-toed cats, and Ernest Hemingway. It was pretty good. And if you want to be entertained by a guy who knows a lot about a lot of different things, listen to that podcast with Leach. Matt Prehm of 24/7 Sports is always good. I go to the well on him because he can talk about a range of things. He can talk softball. He can talk football. He can talk Oregon. He can talk Oregon State. He can talk barbecue. Prehm is great. Get a podcast of that as well. I appreciate having him on this show. And I hadn't planned on having him on, and then Oregon won another softball game, and I was like, you know what? Might want to bring him on. And so we reached out to him during the show and pulled him onto the air. So we pulled him into the fray. Tomorrow, I will be broadcasting live from the Portland Golf Show. And I love the golf show every year. I get to see a lot of our listeners out there. If you're in the area, do stop by the broadcast booth. I think we're going to have some cornhole going on, likely some giveaways. I'll be there. Love to give you a fist bump, say hello to you. But do stop by and say hi at the Portland Golf Show if you're there on Friday. I will not be there on Saturday or Sunday, but I'll be there Friday from noon to 3. That brings us to the Golf Report, brought to you by The Reserve.
The Golf Report, teed up by The Reserve.
Well, there's a high school golf association that has ticked off some parents. Basically, the Kentucky High School Athletic Association voted this week to make significant changes to their boys and girls state golf tournaments. What they want to do is cut down on time and improve the quality of competition. At least that was their aim, but people don't agree with this. Under the old format, Kentucky teams were allowed to start five players. Top four rounds counted towards the score. The new rules eliminate the fifth player. They allow just four people to start. And they're saying that the fifth player in a lot of situations was the cause of the pace of play problems. But the problem with that, you're going to see a better golfer, of course, take the place of a less talented golfer. That's what you've traded there. Unfortunately, a lot of students, parents, and fans have sounded off saying, look, high school sports is about opportunity, and you're taking away a cherished opportunity from kids. One of the detractors is Justin Thomas, who is on the tour and played his high school golf in Louisville. He's saying it's a bad decision on Twitter. And a lot of great storylines come from the fifth person on that team. Change it and make it right. look, there might be hurt feelings, but the board has decided to go with four golfers versus five. Why not three? That would speed it up even faster. I'm all about participation. Pace of play, an extra 90 golfers get to play. I'm going to let them play. That's just me. Bald-faced truth, not here for a long time.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.